Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Thursday, January 30th. I'm Ray Graff. We talk travel today, and we welcome back our pal Gene Gagnon of Plaza Travel Center in Latham, New York. It's so cold. It's been so cold. I'm so tired of it. I want to go someplace warm. I want to just nestle under a palm tree and relax. And, well, the fun drive's next week, so I'll be staying here. But you might be able to go. 800-348-2551 if you have a travel question. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org or 800-348-2551. 2551. She is a font of travel knowledge, and she could be a bit snarky. Gene Gagnon will be here after the news. Oh, hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We are joined by certified travel counselor Gene Gagnon today. Gene is president of Plaza Travel Center, a woman-owned business since 1969. The Institute of Certified Travel Agents awarded her a designation, a conical hat, a crown, if you will. She's a certified travel counselor in 1985. She's been that. Gene was an adjunct instructor of travel and tourism at University College of Syracuse University, Schenectady County Community College as well. At Plaza Travel, Gene specializes in VIP travel, custom planning, international itineraries, group travel. If you have a travel question, we have the person. 800-348-2551 is our number. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Gene Gagnon, I got to tell you something. I'm going to be nice to you today.
It's about time.
I'm going to be nice because you did me a solid. I was out yesterday, got in today, and my guest who was scheduled has a terrible case of the flu, which is going around. And I said, who can I call on short notice? And it was you, Gene Gagnon. And so, therefore, I'll be really, really nice.
I appreciate it.
You know,
I really do.
And I appreciate you being here. And I got thinking about, you know, last minute guests. And then what about those folks? And I've been complaining about the cold weather. And the older I get, the more I complain. What about those folks who just want to get out of town on short notice?
Well, Ray, the thing is, we live in the Northeast.
Yes.
And we have cold winters.
I see.
And it's not like this is a surprise,
okay.
Is it?
Oh, I see. So I said I'm going to be nice to you, and you're going to stick the knife in right
away. No. I'm just saying that if people want to get away in the winter, they should try to plan early. They really should, because they'll save money.
Okay.
All right, that's
true.
Number one, true. Big thing. They will save money.
But what if money was no object?
Oh, if money knows no object, I'll send you anywhere you want to go
Can you go short notice if you have enough?
If you have a lot of money, you can always do anything you want.
Really?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. But I actually, just yesterday, somebody wanted to get away very quickly, early March, and they wanted to be on a beach. And because the airfares to the Caribbean was so high, we looked at Florida.
Hmm.
And I was able to get them nonstop flights from Albany to Tampa.
Yep.
7 nights at a hotel that's actually on a beach.
Wow.
And a car rental for two people for about $3,000,
wow,
which really isn't bad.
I'm glad you ballparked that because we really don't do prices
per se. I can't say it's $10,000. I'm not going to say it was $100.
Okay.
You know, it gives you a rough idea.
Somewhere
that
in
you
between.
Can do it. You can do it. Okay. But you know what, Ray? There are many other places for people who either can't afford it or can't take a week off from work. There are places near us that you can make believe you're someplace warm.
What do you mean? You got to stay inside. I can do that in my house.
Well, yeah, you can do that in your house. But yeah, so for example, I thought of the greenhouses at Smith College.
Oh, genius. That's actually very smart.
Thank you.
Stay there overnight?
No, you cannot.
Oh, okay.
You can't even take a nap there.
All right.
But they're open every day. They've got, I looked it up, they've got 12,000 square feet of indoor garden spaces.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. I've been there. They have like the room that has the huge big palms and violets and tropical flowers and then go someplace out, you know, go for lunch somewhere. So that was like one thing I thought of. Now, the New York State Museum here in Albany.
Right.
Okay. If you go to that exhibit that's supposed to be like the shoreline in New York City, they have like a whale near there.
I haven't seen that.
And they show like a, I think there's a fake boardwalk there. And they actually have bird sounds in the background. And there's a bench right there. And if you sit there on the bench and close your eyes, you'll think you're on the beach.
Now, how fast would they throw me out if I sat on the bench and closed my eyes and then just nodded off?
Well, you or the average person?
Well, oh, that's nice. I see.
Anyway. So that was one idea. Now, another idea is Montreal. Now, you would think, why would I want to go further north?
Exactly.
Because it's cold up there.
Right.
Well, they have some great things that are indoors. They have this thing called the biosphere, which shows all these different climates, and you know, it's wonderful. The kids especially would love that. And plus, so much of Montreal is underground because they have crappy weather. You know what I mean? So you can go right from your hotel to the underground, the restaurants, shopping, you know, things like that. So that was kind of an
interesting
idea.
Okay, that's something.
Okay. Now, really local, you could go to a local sporting goods store that has a climbing wall and has a batting cage. So you can make believe you're at spring training.
I've actually gone to batting cages in my time, and it's fun.
I love a batting cage.
Yeah.
I love a batting cage. Okay. There's a place up north that is both a hotel and an indoor water park. And you can just go to the water park for the day.
It's up in Queensbury, Lake George Way.
Yeah, up near there. So, and you could go to the water park just for the day.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, the kids can go crazy. You can get a private cabana.
No way.
Yes, you can.
You know, here's the problem. You go just for the day, and I've never been. Mm-hmm. I think some of my kids have been. But you go for the day, you get all wet, you come out, it's 2 degrees below zero, you're going to freeze before you get to the car.
No, they have showers, they have lockers, they have hair dryers. Okay, even your local Y or a gym or I think the Jewish Center has an indoor pool.
Oh yeah,
you know, check around and just go there for the day or get a hotel room somewhere that has a pool so you can go swimming in the afternoon, go out to dinner, maybe take a quick dip in the hot tub before you go to bed at night.
Oh yeah,
and at least it's a little bit like a staycation, but a feel of being away.
Yeah.
In Rotterdam, there's that cute little aquarium.
I have never been over there. That's where the Rotterdam Mall was?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I've never
it's
seen
the
it.
Via Aquarium. That's open every day. There's indoor golf simulators all over the place now. And I just think there's a lot to do rather than stay at home and grumble, Ray.
Well, it's what I do best. The number here is 800-348-2551. It's Travel Today with Gene Gagnon, 800-348-2551 or voxpop@wamc.org. So before we go to our break and then go to the phones, if I had the money, which, all right, that's already
right,
a non-starter,
right.
And I wanted to go someplace warm, what is the best under-the-radar, not-that-well-traveled spot in the world where it would be nice and warm and it's not that crazy crowded?
Well, I don't know about in the world, because there's many, many, many places you could go, but just a little bit closer to home, an island like Anguilla in the Caribbean. Really lovely, very quiet. The Turks and Caicos, Grace Bay Beach is consistently the number one rated beach in the world.
But it's crowded, though, right?
No, not Grace Bay. Grace Bay, they don't even allow water jet skis on because of the marine habitat and everything like that. No, it's lovely.
Really?
It's really gorgeous.
Interesting.
Turks and Caicos.
Okay, I'll put it on my list.
Okay.
800-348-2551. This email came in at voxpop@wamc.org. This, I don't know who this is from. But the question is, we're going to England this year. What is the UK ETA visa?
Okay. It's not really technically a visa. So UK, of course, stands for United Kingdom.
Right.
And ETA stands for Electronic Travel Authority.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So first of all, it costs about £10, which in US dollars now is around $12.
Okay.
And
really? The exchange rate's that good nowadays?
Oh, my gosh. It's crazy. Yes.
Wow.
I can remember the last time I was in Britain, a pound was the equivalent of like $1.50.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, I'm going to Scotland in April, and it's like 1.2. It's really, really good.
You'll be able to buy a lot of haggis when you
get to
Scotland.
I will be able to buy a lot of pints
Oh.
and single malt whiskeys.
So you have a designated driver then?
Yes, I definitely do. So anyway, okay. The UK ETA. So it's a, you can actually download the app. That's the easiest way to do it. There's actually a UK ETA app, but you want to make sure you download the one that really is the UK ETA app. Well, it's a white background with a little blue crown.
They have hoaxers out there?
Well, they have people that say, you know, get your visas here, iVisa.
Oh.
Or, you know, Visa Supreme
so
or whatever.
So get the official.
Yeah, get the official app. And you just, you don't even have to have your travel date. You have to have your passport and your credit card in front of you. And this was the coolest thing. It was kind of creepy. It was kind of like, you know, George Orwell.
Yeah.
At one point, they say, slide your cell phone over your passport until it beeps.
What?
Because there's a chip inside your passport. And I tried doing it to the front, and it didn't beep. So then I tried turning it over, and I did it on the back, and all of a sudden it beeped, and all my passport information came up on the app. It was scary, but cool at the same time.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, and they're good for 2 years. That's the other thing. So, you know, it took about 24 hours for me to get back that it was approved, and it actually attaches to your passport information, so there's nothing you have to print.
Wow. What if you lose your phone?
It's on your passport now. So when you go to...
It goes under the chip.
It goes on the chip.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing.
So when I go to Scotland, when I'm going through security, after I go through security and go through border control, they're going to be able to look at my passport and see this app.
This is amazing.
It is amazing.
Europe, is the continent's going to be doing this too, right?
Yes, yes. This is something the ETIAS, they're saying mid-May, but it's been put off like 4, 5, 6 years now. So we're going to keep abreast of it. And I'll be on again in March, I think. So, you know, if they know yet what's going on, we'll talk about that then. But right now, don't worry about it. It's going to be easy peasy.
You know, if somebody gets sick, you'll be on well before March. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551 is our number. Travel expert Jean Gagnon is here. She did not bring her crown for being a certified travel counselor, but maybe next time she'll bring the baubles and the crown. We'll be back. Melvin Sparks, that's Spark Plug here on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551. If you haven't done so already, feel free to make a donation to the WAMC Lockbox at WAMC.org. You've been pretty remarkable. The Lockbox is almost 600,000 now, and the fund drive doesn't even start till Monday, so you've done great. If you haven't done it yet, now's your chance. It'll be open all weekend at WAMC.org. All right, one more email before we hit the phones. And this is from Scott. We heard there is a papal jubilee this year. Are crowds persistent from Easter on? Dare we visit Naples in May? Naples and South.
Right, right. Okay, so yes, it is a jubilee year, and it's very, very crowded. It has been crowded ever since the end of the pandemic. It's just a zoo.
Right.
So certain areas, when I say crowded, people go, oh, how bad could it be? I was like, well, have you ever walked through Times Square on any Saturday or Sunday afternoon where it's like you're bumping into people in front of you and stuff? That's how busy major squares are and things like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yes, it's going to be busy. May will be better than July or August and even better than June or September.
Okay.
Right. So May will be a little bit better. And I hesitate to tell people to hold off and go next year instead, because a lot of people are going to be doing that too. They're going to say it's a jubilee this year. I'll go next year. But Italy is just popular.
Right.
It's just what it is. Okay. But that being said, there are ways to do it so you're not in the middle of crowds, you know, and that you can pre-plan so that you get a skip the line ticket to something instead of waiting to line to get in.
Yeah.
And Naples in particular isn't that bad. They've got a beautiful promenade near the Castello d'Ovo that is pedestrian in the evenings and things like that. So it's not as crowded as being in Naples city center.
Yeah.
So there are ways that you can do it so it's not that crowded, but it's going to be crowded.
All right. Gene Gagnon is our guest. It's Travel Today, 800-348-2551. We'll go back to the email bag in a bit, but let's go to the phones. Bonnie's in Delmar. Hello, Bonnie in Delmar.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, good. Hi. Hi, Ray. I'm your neighbor from around the corner.
I know you. How you doing?
Hi. Okay, so I've got two questions for Gene. One is, do you know of an affordable and nice and peaceful place to stay in or around London, England, maybe on a train line?
Well, yeah, it depends upon why you're going there. So if you're going...
To Oxford museums and also to museums in London.
Okay. Personally, I would suggest if you're going to be touring London, you stay in London. You don't have to stay at an expensive place, but you want to actually be on the tube line. You can stay at some small place in Kensington, which isn't right in the heart of it, but at least it's easier. You really don't want to spend a lot of time traveling back and forth because time is money. But then when you're ready to leave, you know, I would stay at a different place, either outside of Oxford or near Bath, you know, somewhere in the Cotswolds so that you could tour that whole little area by train. So if it was me and if I was going for like...
Is the Cotswolds beautiful?
Oh, very pretty.
How does it compare to the Lakes District?
The Lakes District is a different pretty. The Lakes District is, of course, the lakes and very soft peaks and rolling hills and stuff, whereas the Cotswolds have these incredibly charming little villages. I think Chippingworth is one.
Is it good for bicycling and hiking?
Bicycling would
be
great. Yeah, that would be very nice. Okay. Yeah, that would be very nice. So it depends upon how long you have and how much time you want to spend in each area. But if it was me, I would stay in one and then stay in the other to save time on every day traveling back and forth.
Okay, and Kensington is a good neighborhood to stay in London.
Yes, Kensington's a great neighborhood. It's a little bit further away from, like, Big Ben and Parliament, but it's very close to the Victoria and Albert Museum and Harrods Department Store.
Oh, great.
And there are less expensive places to stay in that area.
Bonnie, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's Gene Gagnon, the sainted Gene Gagnon, for filling in on few hours' notice here today and doing a fine job. Patty's in Otis. Patty, go ahead.
Hey, Ray. You're right. Gene is a saint. So, Gene, you might remember I called on Friday of Martin Luther King Day in a panic trying to get round-trip tickets for my husband to get down to Hilton Head, Savannah.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, I remember.
So I just want to let everyone know, like, A, the WAMC magic that is. I was in a panic. I don't know how to make airline reservations, kind of like Ray. I don't fly. And I thought of you and called. You answered the phone. You were so kind.
Really?
You're so efficient. You are so amazing at your job. And I just heard you right now on the radio and had to call and thank you for everything you did for me that day.
Oh, thank you, Patty. But, you know, my head is expanding.
Yeah,
the longer
there's not much room in studio. Hey, Patty, by the way, I mean, you said she was kind. Did you have the wrong number by any chance?
No, I didn't, Ray. And you just are mean sometimes to Gene.
What the heck?
Thank you, Patty.
You know,
thank you.
Patty, are we going to see you next week during the fun drive?
Hopefully Tuesday.
Excellent. Well, we'll look forward to that. We'll chat about the Mets, and thank you for calling. Appreciate it very much. 800-348-2551. I'm taking a lot of abuse today. I'm telling you,
I'm sitting here with a smile on my face that is so big, so big.
You know what? Okay. I said I'd be nice. Let's go to Gary in Colony. Gary, you're on.
Yes. A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I saw, of all things, a Hallmark movie centered in Antwerp.
Oh,
and
lovely.
I was wondering, they made it look pretty. Of course, it was Hallmark. Is it nice? We're in our 70s. Could we spend a week there or in the area and enjoy ourselves without beating ourselves up too much?
Yes, absolutely. And you could fly into Brussels. And then just take a train, and then you could also go to Bruges, which is really one of my favorite cities. That's also incredibly beautiful with little canals and things like that. But and Antwerp has that beautiful main market square. They have a beautiful cathedral. You could definitely spend a week in that area and then take little day trips to and from places. Absolutely.
Are you better off going to Bruges and day tripping from there?
I don't think so, because Bruges, because it's become more popular, is a little bit more expensive. So, okay. I would go to Bruges for the day, definitely.
So that's kind of a hipster kind of place now?
Well, I don't know if I'd say hipster, but it's definitely more popular.
Interesting. Yeah. Gary, can I ask you something?
Sure.
How did you get roped in to a Hallmark movie? My wife and daughters try to do that to me all the time, and I run for the hills. What happened, Gary? What happened?
I guess you might say I'm cheap. And I don't have all these other streaming services, but I get certain things with my cable company. They give me some things.
They're well made.
Everything looked lousy that day.
Okay.
And my wife likes Hallmark, so I was being a good guy.
Yeah, that's the answer. Yeah, they're well made, but everything's a little too optimistic for me, Gary. I got to be honest.
I know what you mean too. But
hey, man, thanks for the call. Go ahead.
One quick one is Antwerp. Does it get busy? And how expensive is it?
Well, expensive is always a relative term, okay? Everything is more expensive than it used to be. I mean, you can't get a decent hotel in Albany for less than $150 a night. So, I don't know what expensive would mean to you, but it's less expensive than Amsterdam or Bruges or probably even city center Brussels. So it wouldn't be a bad place to do a base from.
All right.
And would be busy?
Well, in July and August, it'll be busy. But if you go off season, I think you'll be fine.
Okay. Appreciate it very much. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Thanks a lot. 800-348-2551 is the number. Gene Gagnon is our guest today, certified travel counselor. And let's see. We go to Holyoke. And Sheila, you're on.
Hi, Ray and Gene. Hi. I wanted to give another suggestion of a really warm place to go in Western Mass, and that's the Magic Wings Butterfly Conservatory.
Oh, good idea. Thank
you. And it's in Deerfield on 5 and 10. And you go in there, and it's the tropics, and you have these beautiful butterflies, and they have waterfalls and places to sit and read. It's just a really nice little retreat in the cold winter.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for calling
in.
That's a great idea.
Thanks, Sheila. Appreciate it. 800-348-2551 is our number. Gene Gagnon's our guest today. And we'll go to Sally in Kingston. Hello, Sally.
Hello. I was calling about the comment about visiting the New York State Museum, which is something I did just last week on a very cold day. And although I enjoyed the visit very much, there's a huge amount of New York State that is not represented, which was a little discouraging.
Well, thanks for that comment. If I were you, I would write to the New York State Museum
and talk
to the curator there.
I think they're going to be upgrading and updating the museum, as I understand it. And so hopefully that will be better. But thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Traveled, Etc. today with Gene Gagnon. And let's go to Mary in Albany. Hello, Mary. You're on.
Hi there. I wanted to ask a question about single cruising as a single, and how you felt about it, and if any particular cruise line was better than another. I'm not particularly interested in meeting the love of my life or anything, so I like shows. I like being warm, and I can be convivial at dinner, so I just wondered what you thought about that.
Well, single cruising is any kind of cruising is lovely if it, you know, if you like cruising, you know. So there are a lot of people who like cruises, and they're great because you don't have to pack and unpack. You're in, you know, one place at a time. And the thing that's nice about being a single is that all the meals are included, so you don't have to worry about where am I going to go to dinner, am I going to have to walk there or whatever. And there are some the majority of cruise lines though do charge a substantial amount for a single because you're taking up the whole cabin. You know, whereas if you're rooming with someone, you're each paying half. However, that being said, there are some cruises, and I'm even thinking of some river cruises, that every once in a while have a free single supplement. Like, in other words, you don't pay more as a single on certain departures.
So off-season?
It's usually off-season or maybe a departure that isn't filling up as much or something like that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you have to grab them because there might only be three or four spaces on each departure that they'll allow that for. And I have several clients that do that. They'll actually say, I want to go on a cruise. Do you know what departure might have a where they're waiving the single supplement? So it can be done. And I think it's a great option because you can either stay by yourself or you can participate in the activities that they have. You know, like I said, you're not there to meet anybody, but it's nice to share the experience. So I agree with you. I think it's a very nice option.
Mary, thanks a lot for the call. Gene Gagnon is our guest today. It's Travel. 800-348-2551 is our number. They still have the big ship that goes from England to the U.S.?
Yes, Cunard Line. Yes, 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 they do.
How long does that take?
It takes about a week, but it takes a week because that's how long they want it to take.
Really? They could do it quicker?
Well, yeah, they could do it faster if they had to. But, you know, it just makes more of an awkward schedule then. You know what I mean? So it's better to have weekly departures or it goes, you know.
Have you ever done that?
I have not. But I would like that, I think. I really, really would. You know, if it was me, I would do it on the way home rather than on the way there.
Yeah.
Because Europe, going to Europe is exhausting. You almost need a vacation when you come back. Mm. Because even though you say, I'm not going to do a lot, you go, oh, I wanted to see this. And, oh, I wanted to do that. And you're walking around a lot because you're in the center city, so you don't need a car. So I would do it at the end. Mm. I would end up in London, and then I would cruise back to sort of rejuvenate and relax and get a massage and read a book. And
okay. You know, I was thinking, I have an idea for your business, by the way.
Okay,
I was thinking, actually standing, taking the air yesterday afternoon at home outside, and I thought, oh gosh, I love meat. I love barbecue. And what if you had made a tour of all these different, every state has different barbecue.
Yeah.
And you had a barbecue tour for a week or two. What do you think of that?
I think that'd be a great idea.
Yeah? Should are you going to hire me?
No.
No? Because okay, I could lead that.
Yeah, I'm sure you could.
All right. And if there was free beer, I would definitely be all in. Let's go to North Greenbush. Debbie, you're on.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks, Jean, for being there.
Thank you.
I have a question about Croatia. I went to the Farm Aid concert, and I bid on a trip, and I don't know why I bid on that one. But anyway, so I'm going to Croatia. I have a so what times of the year are best to go there? And I like eco tours, so could you also advise any kind of hiking areas or snorkeling areas?
Well, first of all, Croatia is very green. You'll be very happy to hear that. And actually, just north of Croatia, which you might want to pop into if you're in Croatia as it is, would be the area of Slovenia. Super green.
Okay.
Yes, super, super green. I mean, it's just fabulous.
Okay.
So, great hiking like near Lake Bled, which is a glacial lake up in the north.
Mm-hmm.
The coastlines are beautiful. Split and Dubrovnik is right on the coast. Depends upon the time of year you go. I mean, I went.
I can choose it. That's why I was asking.
Well, this is what I'm going to say. So you could go in the summer and it would be warm enough to swim every day, but it's also going to be much more crowded. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, so like I was there in April. and we lucked out. The weather was a little warmer, so we actually stuck our feet in the water. We didn't technically go swimming. Mm. So I would think maybe May or early June it would be more on the cusp. You know, July and August are the busiest. April is lovely, and the flowers will start coming out into May. See, the way you look at the dates of travel, you got to think college graduation, mid to late May. So then after that, you have a lot of the backpackers from the north. And then once high school graduations are done and every family is free, that's why late June, July, and August is so busy. Because that's, you know, teachers or people with kids, that's when they could travel. Mm-hmm. So the further you can get on the cusp.
September would be post-season?
Yeah. Yeah, September wouldn't be bad. Yeah. But again, you know, you would think it would be equal to June, but the nights were already starting to get a little darker, so you don't have as much daylight if you want to do sightseeing or hiking. You know, June is really when the longest days are. Hmm. So
but the water would be warmer in September because
the
bodies of water hold
the heat. Exactly. So it's something that you really have to think about, which is your real priorities. But it's absolutely beautiful. The people are lovely. So I'm glad you're going.
Debbie, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. We'll go to Troy very quickly. Then we'll take a break, and then we'll hit the email bag, 800-348-2551. If you want to talk to Gene Cagnan, let's go to Sandra and Troy. Sandra.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So all we have right now are airline tickets to Lisbon in late March. Where would you recommend that we stay? I'd like to look at the coast, but I don't know if it's going to be too cold there. And then do you think we should rent a car, or are the trains good to get around there? And what would you recommend we do if we have about 10 days in Portugal?
10 days. Okay. So definitely do Lisbon when you first arrive. Spend at least a couple of days in Lisbon. And then you have to decide if you want to go south along the southern coast, which is really beautiful. You could make a loop where you could start from Lisbon, go inland to the area that's the wine area. It's near Évora, E-V-O-R-A. That makes another great couple of nights stop. And then swing south and go along the border, ending back up in Lisbon. That's one option. The other option is to go north. So you go from Lisbon and you go along that coastline, maybe stop in Obidos, maybe stop in Navarre, where the large waves are, Aveiro, which is sort of like the Venice of Portugal, and then end up in Lisbon, in Porto, which is incredibly beautiful, and you could take a day trip out to the wineries of the Douro Valley, but then unfortunately you have to find your way back to Lisbon. Okay, so I mean, you could definitely do it. You could do sort of a coastal route north, and then more of an inland route south. But there's a couple of different itineraries that you could do. You definitely have enough time, but it's too bad the tickets are round trip Lisbon, because if it was me, I would have made a ticket into Lisbon and out of Porto to save time.
Well, we probably can change that.
But if you could, it might be worth it if you're going to do the northern route. You know, so you'd have to decide what itinerary. Renting a car, very easy there. They drive on the right-hand side of the road, and the highways were great, but I wouldn't have it while I was in Lisbon. I would wait to leave Lisbon to pick up the rental car, and then I would drop it when I got to Porto, because you don't need it in Porto either.
Okay? All right. Sandra, we got to take a break here. Gene Cagnan is our guest today. It's Travel, 800-348-2551. If you want to, ask a question of Gene, or you can email voxpop@wamc.org. We'll hit the email bag in a moment. First, a little Zappa. Fox Pop on WAMC. Gene Cagnan is here. Always fun, even when we're not on mic. She's hilarious. 800-348-2551 or voxpop@wamc.org. This one is from Jeremy. Galapagos? Question mark. How would you go about planning a trip to the Galapagos Islands, and what Darwin books would you read in advance?
Oh, that's a good question.
There you go.
Because I probably wouldn't read any Darwin books in advance, quite honestly. But I'm sure you can research that. But yeah, the Galapagos are beautiful. You have to do it on a cruise of some kind, okay? Because they don't want people ruining the island by staying on the island. You can do it in combination with other things because it's a long flight. You can do it in combination with Quito, Ecuador. You could do it in combination with Machu Picchu in Peru. Because since you're going down that far anyway, I recommend you include something else in it. The cruises range from 3 to 4 nights, and many, many different tour companies offer packages. So you would want to do your research on that. But incredibly beautiful.
Have you ever been to Peru?
I have not. I've been to Peru. Yeah, I've been to Machu Picchu and Lake Titicaca,
have
which
you
I
seen
love saying.
Some of the ruins?
Oh, yes.
I mean,
they're incredible.
Listen, fun fact, they were built by ancient astronauts. Did you know that?
That, Ray.
Yeah, I saw it on TV.
Yeah.
So this is from Mandy. We're researching a trip to Alaska this year. We're considering late summer / early fall to try to see the Northern Lights. We love the outdoors, animals, photography, but don't want to hike mountains. Not sure on a land trip or a cruise. Any suggestions?
Yes. You shouldn't be surprised. I'm very opinionated on all kinds of way to travel.
Okay.
So this is what I recommend. Okay. I recommend that you fly first to the north, to Fairbanks, because number one, it's the longest flight that you would take out of this whole trip. So you want to do it when you're fresher. So do Fairbanks, see Fairbanks, and then start working your way down on the train, beautiful train rides out there, and go to go see Mount McKinley in Denali National Park.
Yes,
okay?
I like the way you did that.
It's very beautiful, and you can do gentle hiking, you know, and you can go on nature tours, you know, then look for the moose and things like that.
Right.
Then do Denali. Look at the moose.
Are you allowed to do that in Alaska? Okay.
and then come down to Anchorage and then do the 1 week cruise going south.
Okay.
Okay. Because again, the first part is more rigorous. So you do that first, get that under your belt, and then you relax on the cruise, end up down in Vancouver. Now, the only thing about trying to see the Northern Lights, you have to be very far north to see them. And if you try to go in September, things start shutting down. The Alaska season is very short. By mid-September, there's a lot of stuff shut down.
Yeah.
So, and don't forget your days are much shorter. And you have to remember that you're floating in many times when you're on the cruise in ice water.
Oh.
You know what I mean? So, you know, it could be on land, it could be, you know, 70 degrees. But while you're on the boat, I would recommend having earmuffs and little gloves and everything because you're watching these seals that are playing around with the ice floes. But again, you're floating on ice water.
Okay. This is from Deb. Any suggestions for a 2 to 3 day excursion from Albany for families with tweens? I have a last minute opportunity to enjoy some time with kids. This needs to be drivable. 2 to 4 hours. That's from Deb.
2 to 4 hours is tough. I would recommend Washington, D.C. It would be like one of my first picks. It's a little bit further than that, but I think it's well worth it because for a family, the museums are for the most part free. You know, so you're saving a lot of money on that. I mean, someplace like MoMA in New York City, I think, is $25 now to get in. So that would definitely be one option.
Baseball Hall of Fame.
Baseball Hall
Fantastic.
Of Fame.
Fantastic.
Yeah, but she wants to go for 2 or 4 days. So, you know.
It takes at least 2 to get through the Baseball Hall of Fame. I'm not joking. I took my family last summer.
Okay. Well, and also for the tweens, what I like about Washington is that there's so many different museums.
Right.
You know what I mean? So there's a variety of interests. Now, Ray did mention Baseball Hall of Fame, which is a great idea. Another great idea that people don't think of is New York City. Because if you're a resident of New York, you can get into the Metropolitan Museum of Art with any donation you want. You could pay $1. They'll say suggested donation $25, but you could pay whatever you want to go in there. So you could spend a whole day just there, another whole day at the Museum of Natural History. The kids will love walking around New York City. They'll love, you know, bring them down to Greenwich Village. Let them really see.
Yeah, bring the kids down to Greenwich Village. Bring them to 42nd Street or bring them to Times Square. Why not?
It's so wholesome there.
Is it really? When did that change?
In a way, I kind of don't like it because, like in the 70s or 80s, if I told somebody I was going to New York for the weekend, you had some street creds. It was like, hey, I'm tough and cool. Now 11 o'clock at night in Times Square, there's people walking around with baby carriages.
Oh come on!
I'm not kidding. Yeah, it's fun. It is so.
I'm going to take your word for it on that.
It's true.
Let's go back to the phones. Gene Gagnon is our guest. We'll go to Latham. Marcia, you're on.
Hi. I'm kind of confused about my New York State license, and I'm hearing that I need a real license or an enhanced license, and I don't know what the difference is.
Okay. So there are a couple of different licenses, but a regular license is just a license, okay? Then you can get what's called a real ID. That has a star on it when you get it. That is what people are going to need to travel domestically after May if they don't have a passport, okay? So just a plain old license will not work to get on a plane after May. You either have to have a real ID. Or if you have an enhanced license, that is even better than a real ID and actually lets you cross land borders with Canada and Mexico. So in other words, if you're driving to Montreal, you could have just an enhanced license. Now, you can also use an enhanced license on some cruise ships, depending upon where you're getting on and off. But we don't recommend it because if you were somewhere and had to fly home, and you didn't have a passport, you'd be stuck.
Oh, there you go.
So for international travel, we do recommend passports. But if you're only driving to and from Canada, for example, an enhanced is fine. But you need a real or an enhanced to get on a plane starting in May.
You good with that, Marcia?
Oh, that's great. Thank you for that information.
You're very
Bye-bye
welcome,
now.
Marcia.
Appreciate the call. So as of when I'm going to need to have a special mark on my license to fly domestically, when does that happen?
After March. No, May 8th, I think it is.
That is ridiculous.
Why?
This is inside the United States of America.
Uh-huh.
What are you doing?
Well, the reason why is because a driver's license is no proof of anything except that you have the privilege to drive. It doesn't prove that you're a citizen. It doesn't prove where you were born. And people want to know who people really are.
Well, count me as disgusted. Let's go to Tracy in Schenectady. Tracy, you're on with Gene Gagnon.
Hi, Gene. I'm going to England in May, and I was talking with a friend that lives there currently, and she suggested something called an Oyster Pass.
Yes, that's a transportation pass in London. Yes. Oyster card.
An Oyster card. Are you able to purchase those from, say, AAA or a travel agent here, or do I have to get that when I get there?
No, you can get it when you get there, but you can also order it online. So even if I, as a travel agent, want to get it for somebody, I have to order it online for them. But yes, you can order it online.
Okay, very good. Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you.
Let's go to Joseph in Sheffield. Joseph, you're on with Gene Gagnon.
Oh, hello. Thanks for taking the call. I'm going to Seville for 10 days at the end of March, and I was wondering what neighborhoods I should be looking at to stay, either in an apartment or a hotel.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm jealous because Seville is beautiful.
Great barbers there.
Seville is beautiful.
Great place for a haircut.
Seville is beautiful. Ignore Ray, please.
Okay.
So Seville had an exhibition many, many years ago, an international exhibition, a European exhibition, I believe, and they've saved all those beautiful old buildings and turned them into museums and the Plaza de España. Absolutely gorgeous. So where to stay? You can either stay in the historical Jewish quarter, which is charming, a lot of small, little, narrow streets and everything, and anywhere near the cathedral would be a great location. Also, there's an area between the cathedral and the river that you could also stay in that is pretty central. So I'm going to make a little blurb, though. You mentioned apartments. So I am going to say that as somebody who's in travel and supports countries and cities internationally, I do not recommend nor support either homes such as people who turn their rooms into B&Bs. I'm not talking about the corporate.
Okay, fine.
But if the umbrella fits, use it.
All right.
So because B&Bs, VRBOs, they ruin neighborhoods. They decimate communities. You'll have people buy up homes that don't even live there to rent them out to people. And then they're empty in, you know, January, February, March. So now there's not enough people to have schools and grocery stores.
Yeah.
So in Europe in particularly, I beg of you to either stay in a small pension or a small hotel because, number one, they're regulated by the city. Number two, they employ people. And one of the best reasons as far as just being selfish, if you arrive in Europe at 7 o'clock in the morning, which most flights do, and you have a hotel, you can go to that hotel, store your luggage, and walk around until your room is ready, which you cannot do using other types of establishments.
What do you think, Joseph?
Terrific. Thank you. Great food for thought.
Thanks a lot, Joseph.
Thanks for the call. Now let's see here. We'll go to Copake. And Beth, you're on with Gene Gagnon.
Hi, Gene. Multiple friends of ours have done the Viking cruises in Europe, and everybody has had nothing but wonderful things to say. I was looking into them, and they are far less expensive if you go between November and March. How would the weather be doing the Rhine cruise in early November?
Okay, so it's going to be a little bit chillier. It's definitely going to be a little bit chillier. So I'm not going to mention any cruise lines, including the ones that you just mentioned, because I can't in this capacity. No. That's fine. That's fine.
A river cruise.
Right. But I have to tell you, there are many, many other options. Okay. There are river cruises to fit every budget, and they're all on the same river. You know what I mean? You're seeing the same scenery on every single one. Some of them have better food than others. But if it was up to me, okay, if it was me going, I would rather go in nicer weather and have maybe instead of a 5-star cruise experience, maybe a 4-star cruise experience. Mm. Okay. The other thing you have to be very careful with river cruises is because they are floating on very old rivers, going through old towns, the bridges are very low. So sometimes the water is too high. And they have to bus you from place
You're
to place.
You're kidding me.
No, instead of the cruise. Or sometimes the water is so low, there's not enough draft for the boat to go from point A to point B. It doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen. And they don't have to give you your money back because they're telling you ahead of time. It's not their fault.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's the flow of the river.
Interesting.
You know, so it's just something to bear in mind. A lot of people love the river cruises because you only have to pack and unpack once. But I will give you one example. I had a trip that went to Prague for 3 nights, Vienna 3 nights, and Budapest for 3 nights. And a woman came on it that had already done those 3 cities on a river cruise. And I said to her, why are you going on this trip if you've already been here? And she said, because I was only spent a day in each place. And they're so beautiful. I want to walk around at night. I want to experience it more. So there's pros and cons of that as well. Okay.
All right, Beth. Thanks a lot for the call. This email from Kathy. Falklands. My husband, says Kathy, has taken up camping recently and surprised me by saying he'd like to go camping in the Falkland Islands. Has Gene ever been there? What do you think the possibilities would be for camping? He's just been camping in Vermont and New Hampshire. It's a little further, obviously.
Yeah. It's a little further. Kathy, was it Kathy?
Yeah.
Kathy, I'm very, very sorry to tell you, but my idea of camping is a hotel that doesn't have room service.
Yeah.
So I hate to do this, but I don't know a lot about camping on the Falklands.
All right. Well, it's a long stretch to get there.
It's a long stretch to get there. And there are many, many places that you can go camping that would be easier to get to.
Yeah, like Vermont or New Hampshire,
which they've done already. Even internationally, you know, you could go camping in Europe. You could go camping in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
You know, lots of other places.
All right, we have time for a call or two more here. Let's go to Jay in Glenmont. Jay, you're on.
Oh, hi, Gene. Back in 1986, I studied for a semester in Warsaw, Poland, and I wanted to go back. Obviously, there's been a lot of changes in the country, and just wanted to know if you had ever been there and or have any tips on traveling in Poland specifically like, you know, what airports to fly in and out of, whether it's crowded like Western Europe, and if you have any, you know, sample tours.
Well, yeah, well, there's definitely tours, okay, because the interesting thing was I was actually going to do one about 3 years ago. And although Poland is perfectly safe to go to, that's not the perception that the general public has at large because of Ukraine, you know, the issue in Ukraine.
Sure.
So I canceled mine, but I would have gone. Believe me, I would have gone. I think it's perfectly safe to go to.
Yeah.
And you really have to check the airfares because you don't want to have to do a round trip just into Warsaw. But if that's where you can get the nonstop flights to, that's what I would do. I would go round trip Warsaw and then do a circle. You know, you want to go to Krakow. You want to maybe go to the concentration camps to see them. But you spent a semester there, so you know. It will be more crowded in July and August than it would be otherwise. But again, because of the Ukraine situation, I don't think it's going to be as crowded with Americans. I think the Europeans realize it's still safe, but I think it'll be a little less crowded than it normally would be. Absolutely. And they have a very good train system, so I would use the trains to get from place to place.
Okay. And who wants to hang with Americans anyway, right? All right, Jay. Hey, good luck. We got to leave it there. Tammy wrote in, my family is taking an 8-day National Geographic excursion in Alaska in late June. We're investigating travel insurance options. You have any thoughts on the best approach to take in terms of that?
Yes, you should definitely have travel insurance that covers both cancellation if you have to cancel before you go. And then you also want to have travel insurance that covers you while you are there. For example, there are policies that cover you if somebody gets sick, they'll fly them home, they'll reimburse you for the unused portion of your tour. So it's something that you really have to investigate. And if you don't have the time to do that, you could call. There are many, many agencies that sell travel insurance as part of their services.
Well, Gene Gagnon, this was a powerhouse of a show, a tour de force. Well done.
Thank you.
And we'll see you on your regularly scheduled date, which you said is March.
I think it's March 5th, if that's a Wednesday.
It could be. I don't know. But thank you for coming on this.
You're very welcome.
I only book it. I don't know. but I'll see you then. Thanks to Mass Mocha, presenting early 90s shoegaze band Slow Dive in the Hunter Center, January 31st in North Adams, Massachusetts. MassMocha.org for information. I don't know what shoegaze is. Zach, you know what shoegaze is? It must be introspective, and I've heard of navel gazing. I've heard quite a bit of that. All right, that's it for the show today. Thanks again to Gene Gagnon for popping in and filling in on short notice. I wasn't mean. She was a little mean, but it's okay. Thanks to Zach in Master Control. Susie Checkeye screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow it's Food Friday. It's our final Food Friday before the fun drive, and we'll talk nutrition with Nicole Rodriguez. I hope there's no kale, but you never know. We'll see you at 2:00.